Turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And last week we went through 6 through 8, and we discussed some things that Jesus' brothers wanted him to go up to Jerusalem. A way that Jesus wasn't supposed to. And not maybe that he wasn't supposed to, but that wasn't wise. And we're going to continue on in verse 9, and we're going to read 9 through 18 today, and we're going to see maybe some reasons why that was a little bit more, and maybe some reasons why the Jews hated him, and why people maybe liked the teaching, but they miss some of the understanding, miss the deep parts of it. So let's go ahead and read John chapter 7, starting in verse 9. It says, having said these things to them, he stayed in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he himself also went up, not publicly, as it were, but as it were in secret. The Jews, therefore, were seeking him at the feast and were saying, "Where is he?" And there was much grumbling among the multitudes concerning him. Some were saying, "He is a good man." Others were saying, "No, on the contrary, he leads the multitude astray." Yet no one was speaking openly of him for fear of the Jews. But when it was now the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach. The Jews, therefore, were marveling, saying, "How has this man become learned, having never been educated?" Jesus, therefore, answered them and said, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If any man is willing to do his will, he shall know the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak of myself. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who is seeking his own glory, or seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, and we could assemble here today to meet around your table and study your word. Father, help us as we learn more about you and dig in, Father, and help us to develop into your character, Father, and have the right heart, Father, in everything we do. Father, help us as we encourage one another, and thank you again for Jesus in his name. Amen. So as we mentioned, we saw in specifically verse 8, Jesus did not go up to the feast. He said he wasn't going to go up to the feast because his time had not fully come. And prior to that, he talked about his brothers, how their time was always opportune or always ready. And we see that the reason kind of was, when we discussed that, is that he wasn't going up to Jerusalem like they were hoping, or like they were thinking he should. And there's probably some jealousy. I mean, the text doesn't say there was jealousy, but you can kind of imagine a little bit that Jesus wasn't doing things, you know, like he was getting this attention, and he wasn't, you know, going like they'd kind of imagined. And they still probably had some of the problem that the rest of the Jews had, they had the mindset on a physical kingdom and not on the spiritual kingdom. So as brothers, you know what? If you're really who you say you are, show yourself to the world. You don't sit and do this in secret. And they were accusing him of preaching in secret. In verse 9 and 10, we see that Jesus eventually did go up to Jerusalem there, even though he stayed in Galilee while his brothers went up, and then he went up publicly, or not publicly, but as it were in secret. The Greek word for secret means hidden, secret, or concealed. So Jesus didn't lie to his brothers, as we talked about last week. He just didn't go up the way that they were wanting him to go up. He didn't go up the way and proclaim that, you know, that he is king of the Jews and the king of Israel and gonna redeem Israel from Rome, or from the oppression, and restore the kingdom to physical Israel. He didn't go up that way, and that was the way that they, you know, and the rest of the Jews were expecting the Messiah to come. So if you are who you say you are, do these things publicly, not secret. We turn ahead to John chapter 18. John chapter 18, after Jesus is arrested, and we see in verse 19, it said, "The high priest therefore questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. And Jesus answered him, 'I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. And I spoke nothing in secret.'" So the Greek word for secret there in verse 20 is the same Greek word that is used back in John chapter 7. Both his brothers were saying that, and he said, and it says that he went up in secret. So when we look at that, there's two different things that in the context you can see. Well, secret, Jesus said he didn't go up in secret, but then in John chapter 7, it says that he went up in secret. Now, Jesus said he never taught in secret. Now, that doesn't mean that he didn't have a conversation privately with just the 12 at times, because there is record of those things. He just had, you know, even there was conversations with less than the 12 at times. He went up and talked when he was on the Transfiguration. There was just a few disciples there, and he told them something and said, "You don't tell this to anyone until after the resurrection." And they didn't say anything. That doesn't mean that Jesus was teaching in secret. The things that he talked to his disciples more privately, he still taught to the people. He still told the people he was going to resurrect. He still talked about that, about when he said the Son of Man will ascend to where he was before, and people were questioning that. Parables, for example, he taught the parables to the people, but the people didn't understand it, and they didn't want to understand it. He explained it privately to his disciples. So Jesus didn't teach these secret things and trying to get certain people and rouse certain people up. And that's what Jesus is saying. I never did those things. That doesn't mean that he didn't go up in secret. That doesn't mean that he didn't talk to his disciples privately at times. But what he taught to his disciples, he taught to the rest of the people too. But in John chapter 7, when we're looking at that, when it says that he went up in secret, the reason he went up in secret was that he wasn't going up, like, for example, like he did when he rode into Jerusalem on the donkey. He didn't go up like that. He went privately, just as a normal Jewish citizen, and then he went and taught publicly in the temple, fulfilling both what he says that he did not teach anything in secret, and also to his brothers that he wasn't going to go up, and he wasn't going to go up like they wanted him to, and that's what they were wanting him to do. So understanding some of the background there, why they would want him to go up a certain way, you know, there could be a little confusion there. One example was this morning in the scripture reading, it talked about the woman having, you know, dressed in scarlet. You know, so scarlet has two different. It's applied two different ways in the scripture. It's applied as sin. You know, Isaiah talks about though your sins are as scarlet, they'll be as white as wool. That applies there, but it also applies to somebody who is prosperous. Okay, so depending on the context of each word or how the word is used, can determine if it's a positive or a negative. So Jesus didn't go up publicly like they wanted him to do and proclaim he was king of Israel and going to overtake Rome like they wanted him to. And that's what he said, "I'm not going to do that. Your time is opportune." You could be teaching the people still the principles of God and the law. And what happened is the Pharisees and the religious leaders kept drifting and drifting away. We think of, well, these guys are just for common Jews. They really did a lot of good things. Now, the Pharisees and the scribes and the leaders of Israel had a lot of burdens on people and a lot of things that they added to the Word of God. And so Jesus is saying to his brothers, you could be teaching the right stuff if you wanted to. Verse 11 of John chapter 7, it says, "The Jews therefore were seeking him at the feast and were saying, 'Where is he?' And there was much grumbling among the multitudes concerning him. Some were saying, 'He is a good man.' Others were saying, 'No, on the contrary, he leads the multitude astray.' Yet no one was speaking openly of him for fear of the Jews." So you see that there are some people How many people it is, I mean, that we don't really know. It seems like there's quite a following that Jesus has at times. We got to remember that this is on the heels of John chapter 6, or this is after that, where Jesus lost a lot of the disciples because of the statements he made, because of their mindset on the flesh. But a lot of them understood that his teaching was good. You know, there's times that this must be the prophet. Turn a couple chapters ahead to John chapter 9. I missed a spot. Go back to Luke 19. I'm sorry. Luke 19. So a lot of people understood his teaching was good, even up to a week prior to his death, or within a week of his death. In Luke chapter 19, verse 37, it says, "And now when he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" And you see the Pharisees rebuking Jesus there to silence his disciples. But people, they could see that Jesus was teaching right. And that happens even a lot now. You know, you have Bible studies with people, you talk to people, and you think, well, this could be positive, you know. But a lot of times, I mean, it's positive in a lot of sense, because a lot of times there's life in the message that we have. There is life in the message that we have. And you don't get that everywhere. You don't get that most places. There's life in the message that we have. There's life in the message that Jesus has. And they were not getting that as a Jewish nation in that day from the leaders of Israel. There is burdens from the leaders of Israel. Jesus talked about how they pile the yoke upon you, and they're not even willing to lift a finger to do any of it. There is burdens that the Jewish people were oppressed, so they could see the good teaching, and they were excited about the good teaching. Now, we're going to come back to this in a minute as we continue on. But just remember that people can be excited about good teaching, but it doesn't always mean that they're getting the whole message. Turn back to John chapter 9. So what would it mean then if Jesus didn't go up in secret, was teaching in secret? How come he didn't go up like he and proclaim? How come he was rebuking the spirits from proclaiming him as the Son of God when he cast them out? A real quick reason for that, and it's similar to when Paul, when he rebukes the unclean spirit out of the girl. First off, the demon didn't proclaim the whole message. She was saying this, that they're proclaiming a way of salvation, which was, it wasn't a way of salvation, it was the way of salvation. But the other thing is that why would we want our message to be commended by an evil spirit? That's why Jesus is rebuking the evil spirits. He doesn't want his glory and praise coming from the wicked. Paul didn't want the glory and praise coming from the demon that possessed the girl. That's why he cast it out of her. And they got thrown in prison, but he cast out his, because he didn't want the wicked proclaiming the righteous message, because the wicked never proclaims a complete righteous message. And then when you're preaching to people who are lost, they see an evil spirit proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God. Most of the time, that might get them excited for a minute, but they're going to realize that's not really a good thing. Even though it is true that he was, and it was true for them to proclaim that, Jesus didn't want them to proclaim that. In John chapter 9, remember it said in chapter 7 that they were afraid. People could see that he was teaching correctly, but they were afraid of the rulers. In John chapter 9, verse 22, this is the story of the man who is blind from his birth. And his parents, verse 22, his parents said this because they were afraid. Well, they told the Pharisees to go ask him. And he can speak for himself because he was of age. The parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess him that to be Christ, that he should be put out of the synagogues. Turn ahead to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 42. It says, "Nevertheless, even many rulers believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." In verse 43, they loved the approval of man rather than the approval of God. Now, there's obviously, I think there's some rulers that came around. Nicodemus is one of them that comes to mind. Joseph of Arimathea, both who were Pharisees and leaders of Israel and teachers of Israel. And they did, I think that the scripture doesn't talk about their conversion, but it's a pretty good picture we get when they wrap the body of Jesus and take it down from the cross and bury it, and they do that. Even though they did do it in secret, they still were disciples of his. But for the majority, the Jews, the leadership in Israel, used the threatened fear, threatened casting out of the synagogue, threatened repercussions just to inquire about someone. Now, granted, if Jesus was a fraud, that would be true for them to do and be right for them to do. But they never, as later in John chapter 7, we're going to see, Nicodemus says, "Hey, our law doesn't condemn a man unless we hear his side, we put him on trial first." And the Jews weren't even willing to do that. So the Jews didn't even have the trial publicly like they were supposed to and give him a fair trial. So they weren't willing to even see that. If you have somebody who a leadership that controls out of fear instead of laying the truth out and seeing, is this right or is this not right, that can be a pretty dangerous situation. There's probably a little bit more to what they're saying than what they actually are saying, if that's the case. They might be saying, "Well, we're just protecting people," but there might be a little bit more to that because the truth does not fear examination. You know, I've been in studies with people before, and a lot of times, you know, I've said a lot of times to people that I don't want to debate. Because I could win a debate probably against most people. Not because I'm necessarily right, but because I'm really quick. Okay? And not everybody is wired like I am, and that's not putting anybody down. But just because you win a debate does not necessarily mean you're correct. And so at times in studies, people will be thinking of something, and I know where they're talking about, and I'll mention that. See, if I was debating, I wouldn't mention that. But because the truth doesn't fear examination, why would I fear that a passage of Scripture that they're using? Because if it's correct, I need a change for one. But if it's incorrect, it's either used out of context, most time used out of context, or they probably are misquoting what they heard. So what fixes the problem then? It doesn't fix the problem me saying, "Well, that doesn't say that." It fixes the problem if we go to the passage and we look at the passage and either it doesn't say what they actually thought it was, or you can show that the Scripture actually doesn't say that if you look at the whole Bible as itself. But when you have to use fear, as the Jews were doing here, hey, if you confess that this is the Messiah, you're going to be kicked out of the synagogue. That's probably not a... It's probably a good sign that you're kind of in a cult. But that's still true today. Turn back to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. So continue on. Remember that question. What does it mean that he didn't go up publicly, but secret? But then later he says he didn't teach in secret, he taught publicly. Verse 14 of John chapter 7, it says, "But when it was now the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach." Again, this is a public teaching here, okay? So did Jesus say, well, he said he wasn't going to go up publicly, he was going to go up in secret, or he went up in secret. He said he wasn't going to go up to his brothers, but now he's going up, and now he's even going and teaching. But he did not do it the way that his brothers wanted him to do it. He's doing it in a different way. So he's teaching publicly. Verse 15, the Jews therefore were marveled, saying, how has this man become learned, having never been educated? They recognize that Jesus wasn't educated. Not by them. Turn over to Acts chapter 2, or Acts chapter 4. Sorry, Acts chapter 4. Peter and John had been arrested here in Acts chapter 4 for preaching the gospel. In verse 13, it says, now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were marveling and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And then it says that they saw the man who was healed and they really couldn't have an argument against it. So notice a little bit there that they understood that they had been with Jesus. They understood there was something there. They understood that, hey, maybe there's some truth to what they're saying. Now, I'm not saying that those who understood that at the time didn't eventually come around, but to think that all of them came around is probably not very consistent with the scripture, because there's a lot of people that didn't. We know that the Pharisees tried to, the high priests and the Pharisees, the leaders of Israel, tried to cover up Jesus' resurrection because they knew he resurrected, and they covered it up. They paid the guards, and you can find that in Matthew 28. They paid the guards to lie about it. They knew that he resurrected. They knew that the disciples didn't come and take away the body and just to proclaim that he resurrected. They knew he resurrected. The truth to people sometimes doesn't make them want to follow God. The truth makes them want to cover it up, because if they don't cover it up, it exposes their sins. And just as he said in John chapter 1, that they don't come into the light because the light will expose them. And he says it even a little later even in John, and probably multiple times in John, I think, probably. But they come into light, and those who are in darkness hate the light because it exposes their deeds. And that's why they hate it. Turn to John chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, a couple chapters over. Stephen, after he was one of the seven who was chosen to help with the serving, distributing of food, in verse 8, it says, "But Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. But some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, including both Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and some from Cilicia and Asia, arose and argued with Stephen. And yet they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking." And so we see that they secretly introduced people to say he blasphemed, to lie about it. Okay, so notice that Peter and John, they understood that they had been with Jesus. They were unable to cope with the wisdom of Stephen. They recognized that Peter and John were untrained men. Okay, they untrained, uneducated, and you could assume that maybe Stephen was the same way in their eyes. But we know for sure they couldn't cope with what he was saying. Similar to what Jesus was saying in John chapter 7, what they said of him. You know, how is this man so learned when he hasn't been educated? You find the answer in verse 16 of John chapter 7. Jesus therefore answered them and said, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me." The reason that Peter and John could stand up with the leaders of Israel and speak against them, and they recognized that they were untrained men and uneducated men, but they could not argue against them, was because their teaching wasn't Peter's, and the teaching wasn't John's. The reason that Stephen could stand up and they were unable to cope with the wisdom and what the Spirit was teaching there was because the teaching wasn't Stephen's. It was the Father's. Jesus even says that there, you know, the teaching, even though we understand that Jesus and the Father are one, Jesus is the God, is God in the flesh. But he is pointing to is that my teaching is from the one who sent me. It's not even mine. It's not even something that I'm stirring up here. And that's what they were accusing him of, is just trying to be the Messiah. Blaspheming, calling himself the Son of God. John chapter 5, we read before that, is that they wanted to stone him because he made himself equal with God because he called himself the Son of God. Jesus said his teaching wasn't mine, and the reason that they could that he could cope and he could teach that, and he was uneducated according to their standards, uneducated according to their standards, was because his teaching was not from them, not from the Jewish theological seminary or whatever. That's my name for it. But it wasn't from them. It was from God. So Jesus didn't teach in secret, but how his brothers wanted him to teach wouldn't have been the right way for him to teach, because that wouldn't have accomplished what he wanted and what God wanted. So when we're teaching God's word, and this can be applied to us as well, when we're teaching God's word, it can have multiple effects on people. So we see his brothers here. Okay, his brothers, yeah, they might have believed the teaching. They might have believed the Messiah was coming. They didn't want to kill him. But hey, if you're really who you say you are, why don't you go up and proclaim publicly? Because they had their own focus. They had a physical focus. And what happened when he did go up publicly, which would be, we've read in Luke chapter 9, which would be the second way that it can affect people, is that he did go up publicly, and they had the wrong idea of what kind of king he was. Because if you go back and read Luke 19, which we've read that a few times as we've studied, but Luke 19, he weeps over the city because they're proclaiming him being the king for a physical Israel. It wasn't that it was because they were proclaiming that he was the king. It was that they were proclaiming him to be a king of their own imagination and a king for the physical nation of Israel. We talked about that and hammered that quite a bit before. And that's the second effect. The first effect is brothers, they wanted him to go up and teach the way that they thought he should be teaching, and they weren't believing in him because of that. The second effect when you teach God's teaching and not your own is that people, when you do it, sometimes they get the wrong idea. And it wasn't wrong for Jesus to go up and ride up to Jerusalem like that, but they have the wrong idea because they had the wrong mindset. And the third reason here that we see how it affects people is that in the case of the leaders, it affects the leaders because they hated the teaching. Because if the teaching was Jesus, it would be easy for Christ and for someone to mold or mesh that teaching to make it compatible with the teaching of the religious leaders at the time. Yeah, it's a little change is fine. Too much change is not good. Too much of the different than what we've been teaching isn't good. It kind of reminds me of the Hunger Games movie. It's the second one. I don't know if anybody has seen it, but it talks about how the dictator at the time says to the game master, a spark is good because it keeps hope, but if the spark becomes a flame, that's not good. You can't put the spark out, because if there's no hope, then you're going to have rebellion. And if you have too much of a flame, you're going to have a rebellion. So you keep the spark a little bit so people have a little bit of hope. So a little bit of change, if Jesus' teaching was his own teaching and he was seeking after his own glory, he could have meshed his teaching a little bit with the Pharisees and the leaders of Israel at the time to make it so they could coexist. But Jesus' teaching wasn't of his own. And he didn't want to be of his own. And we don't want to be of our own. Our teaching is not of our own. So you're going to have the response to people, they hate the teaching. And as we talked about last time, is that they, in verse 7 of John chapter 7, is they cannot hate you because it hates me, because I testify that its deeds are evil. See, they know that they've hated Jesus first. The reason that they hate us is because we're servants of Christ and they hated Christ first. Because his teaching exposed the deeds of the wicked, and the darkness hates the light because they can't come into the light because their deeds are going to be exposed. Verse 17 of John chapter 7 says, "If any man is willing to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God, or whether it is whether I myself, or that I speak of myself. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of God, of the one who sent him, he is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now this is talking about Jesus in the context here, is that Jesus is making a defense for himself, say, if I'm seeking my own glory, then I speak for myself. But if you check the teaching and you want to know the teaching and you can see that the teaching is from God and not myself, then you know there's no unrighteousness in me. That's talking about Jesus, but that also can apply to us too, because our teaching is not of ourselves. Our teaching is of the Word of God, and that's why the truth doesn't fear examination. That's why if we're truly seeking after God and wanting to do that, it doesn't matter what the truth says. If the truth is a little bit different than what we have always been taught, then we change. Apollos is an example of that. Acts 19. I mean, there's a lot of examples of that. But Apollos especially, really close to teaching correctly. He was wrong on the correct immersion. He only was acquainted with John's immersion. He didn't have the correct immersion. So he was immersed again. He repented when he was confronted and shown it was different. Because he was willing to seek the truth. Because the truth does not fear examination. And the true seeker does not fear examination. Those who love the light come into the light so their deeds can be exposed and taken away. Those who are of the darkness hate the light because they don't want their deeds to be exposed and taken away. Because they love the world more than they love God. So the one who desires to do the will of God will know the truth. It might take a little time. You know, that's we have to watch ourselves too on that. Is that we have to understand as we're preaching the gospel. And we talked last week about, you know, what can we do to preach the gospel? Are we waiting for the Holy Spirit to do all the work and we're not wanting to lift a finger to do the work? Kind of like the brothers are doing. Jesus, you do this. We were critical of how he was doing it instead of maybe doing a little bit of work and taking a little bit of initiative ourselves. But as we're doing that, we also got to understand that people do grow at a different pace. So just because they don't get it right away does not mean that they won't ever get it. I mean, there's a lot of times, I mean, in some ways, it's not necessarily fair for me to stand up here and say, how come you guys haven't got this when you just, what I just taught today? Because I had all week to look through this stuff. And it's not necessarily fair to expect you guys to get it right away. It doesn't mean you won't. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying is that we got to understand that sometimes when we teach stuff and we study things out, it might have took us a little bit to get there. We got to have a little bit of grace with somebody to be able to understand that they're going to grow there too. The Spirit is working with them as well. So because the one who desires to know the truth is going to find the truth. And that one will be truly righteous. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. Again, that we could gather here today. Father, we thank you for your truth, Father, and your word. Father, we can have that as our foundation, Father. We know that your word is true. And Father, that we're convinced that what you have said, Father, and you've laid out in your scripture, even though it might at times look like it's different, we understand if we're studying and we want to seek the truth, Father, we'll find the correct answer. Father, we thank you for your patience with us, that you give us time to repent, that you desire all men to be saved and all to come to repentance, Father. We thank you, Father, for that opportunity, and we thank you for the opportunity to be your mouthpiece here on earth, your ambassadors here to the world to proclaim the glories of heaven to the lost world. Father, again, we thank you again for Jesus in his name. Amen.